Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we begin the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. May your will be accomplished through it. Father, you know the need. You know the people listening. Father, you know those that are lost and those that are saved. We pray that you would deal with each one according to your tender will and mercy. Father, we pray that you would bless and touch hearts and open doors that only you can open. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Going to begin in verse 1 of this chapter. It says here, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And of course, the commandments and law that he has given him is what he has received from God. He is passing along the law of God. I try to be very careful with my children as I'm raising them. I try to talk to them. I try to engage them. I try to teach them how to think. I know the world today likes to tell you what to think instead of learning how to think. And even when it comes to the Word of God, I don't just try to teach them what to think. I try to teach them how to look to God, how to study, how to dig into things, how to listen to the Spirit of God as He leads in our heart, and noticing that the Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. And so you dig into those things. And so as you're teaching your children, you want to teach them not your commandments, but God's commandments. And God's law and God's way, that which is right and good. He said, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." When it's of God, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And when I say blessing, I'm not talking about worldly blessings. I used to not even have to say this, it seemed like, or maybe it was just the way I was taught. I never thought of blessings as a financial thing, as people do so many times today. They think of blessings, they think, well, I got a new car, I got a better paying job, I got this house, I got all these other things. That's not blessing according to Scripture. And I'll even say this, yes, it talks about length of days. It talks about long life and peace shall they add to thee. The peace that it's talking about is peace with God. But when we're serving God and being honorable, it's amazing that that even gives us peace with our enemies a lot of times. It does many things when we're following the Lord. And can serving God and following God in different ways make for a financial blessing? It can, but it is not the main factor, and it is not the focus in Scripture. Because there are many people that suffered great loss for serving the Lord. Great loss of income, great loss of money, land, all kinds of other things, even loss of life, dying early. And so we need to put things in their proper place and rightly divide the Word of truth. But it is a blessing to serve the Lord. And it is a blessing when we put His law in our heart and we serve Him and keep His commandments. And He said in verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." And notice there's two sides of that. Mercy and truth. Let me ask this, does God just deal with us in truth? And that means righteousness, pure holiness. Does God deal with us with just truth? Truth is essential, isn't it? Truth can never be taken away. If you take away truth and just have mercy, you will pervert the gospel in a heartbeat. And if you just have mercy and no truth, you will pervert the gospel. And I know I've told on that before, even on the radio program. But let me ask you this. When you were lost, Did God not through the truth show you that you were a sinner? He brought the law to you. And he showed you that you were guilty of sin. Whether it was covetousness, whether it was idolatry, whether it was putting things before God, which is idolatry. It's another form of it. But you go through these things and you look at it. And you look at what God accomplishes and what he does. Even when we're lost. You look at all these things. God came to me with truth, didn't he? He said, you're guilty. You're worthy of death. You deserve hell and the lake of fire. You deserve these things. You're in all this. And I mean, he convicts us of sin with truth, doesn't he? And he lists out a whole lot of truth. Here's your sin. Here's your sin. Here's your sin. And he just goes through and totally convinces us you are a sinner and you are unworthy of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't deserve salvation. There's nothing we can do within our puny flesh to do anything. At our very best, we find out we're filthy rags before God. That's what we find out. That's what we learn. There's truth. But did he just deal with us with truth? Or did he also come at the same time and saying, now seeing who you are, I have provided salvation for you through Jesus Christ. He has fulfilled the law for you. He has become all righteousness for you. And then he has died as the sacrifice, the atonement for your sin. His blood has been shed so that it could be imputed to you for your righteousness. Did he just come to us with truth, or did he also come to us with mercy? And I will say this, Christ being our righteousness is also truth, isn't it? But it's also mercy. Now, seeing how God has dealt with us, we need to apply mercy and truth in our life, don't we? He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And notice where he says to put these. In the table of your heart. Bind them about your neck. And that's a reference to where you used to put your money. You know, it'd be underneath you. It was called a purse, just to let you know. But it's not purses like women's purses we think about today. It'd be like what you call a wallet or different things. Is the place where you kept your money. And so you put that around your neck. The straps of that were around your neck so you could pull it up and get your money. And that's what he's saying. This is more valuable than gold or silver. This is more valuable than precious stones. What you need to do is you need to bind it about your neck. You need to write it upon the tables of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You're going to find favor. Favor with who? God and man. You're going to find good understanding with who? God and man. What he's saying is you're going to gain wisdom because you're listening not only to the truth of God's word, but also the mercy in God's word. And when you put both of these about you in your life, not one or the other, but both of them there, it's going to be a wonderful thing. When you have these things in your life, it's going to be a blessing to you, son. It's going to be a wonderful thing to you. You're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And what you need to do is you need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. And this becomes crucial because there's times when we say, well, this person's done me wrong. That's truth. But God, you've shown me much mercy. And you've taught me to show mercy unto others. Not to excuse sin. Not to deny that wrong has been done. That's not what is said. There are times that I've had to go to people and say, you know that you've done wrong here. There's times I've had to go to people that might have done me wrong to myself in my life. And I'll say, you know that you lied upon me here. You know that you did wrong. I've got a right to confront them with the truth, don't I? I do. But I also have the right to deal with them in mercy. I've done people wrong before, haven't I? Do I not want their forgiveness and their mercy? Even with my children, do I deal with them in just truth or do I deal with them in mercy? There's times I've got to correct my children. There's times I might even have to spank my children. But I just look to an excuse to spank my kids? No. In fact, I really look for an excuse to go, well, when is it really needed? And when can I extend to them some mercy? You know, a wise person knows when to bring the sword and when to bring the olive branch, don't they? The Bible lets us know there is a time for war. There's also a time for peace. If you'll go back and search most of the history of wars, not all of them, but most of them, you know that most wars could have been avoided. Most of them could. There's times when you can. There's times when you got an enemy that's invading you and you have no choice but to make war with them. But many wars could be avoided. And I say that to get across this statement. Couldn't many wars in our life, and I'm not talking about with sword or with gun or these things, but even in our relationships with people. You ever argue with your spouse and think, well, that was a dumb argument to have? You ever go back and look at it and say, why did we argue over that? Is it not the same with co-workers? Is it not the same sometimes with churches? That sometimes it's miscommunication? Even not that long ago, I had an incident come up at a church. And the first thing that I thought in my mind is I was like, you know, this is kind of a delicate situation. There might have been some misunderstanding here. Now, where I could have gone about and stirred up some pots and really, you know, aggravated people, what needed to be done was more questions. And say, wait a minute, did you fully understand what was said here? Did you fully understand what was going on? And peace sometimes can come because we say, wait a minute, instead of this becoming a big issue, we might find out it was nothing but some misunderstanding. You'll find that in the relationship that you have with your children. You'll find that in the relationship you have with your spouse. You'll find that in some things at work. And even some things at church. Wait a minute, we're just misunderstanding some things here. There's churches that have split over nothing but a misunderstanding. And they let it get to this heated argument and that heated argument. You know why? Because they didn't exercise any mercy. And in all honesty, they probably left out some truth also. Well, they reacted hot-headedly. Well, have you ever done that? See, the thing about mercy is when we've received mercy from God and we learn about His mercy and His goodness, it helps us to show mercy to other people. You know, there was a time when King David had a man that was mocking him and coming to him, and one of his servants said, let me get down and, you know, let me hit him. Let me correct him. Let me strike him for this. He said, you need to leave him alone. And the reason that David said it is because he had done some wrong. And he had also received mercy from God. And you know what he learned from that? Well, I'm going to show mercy to this man. It changed the way that he dealt with somebody else. He didn't cover up. He didn't try to, you know, get into this discussion of whether what the man was saying was right or wrong or all this other stuff. He said, we're just going to show him mercy. We're just going to let him be. When we learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding, we're not led by our emotions anymore. We're not led by our feelings. It doesn't say we're taking out feelings or emotions. That's not what's being said. But a lot of times we let, well, I feel like it should be done this way. Well, I feel like I should be treated this way. I feel like this should be done. That should be. That's a lot of discussions I have even when I do couple counseling. And I have to come back to Scripture and I have to say, wait a minute, what does the Scripture say you're to do on? Well, what about him? What? No. You can't fix him. What are you supposed to do? And sometimes I come to the man and he's like, well, she needs to do this. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to behave? How are you supposed to act? Well, I need her to do this and she needs to obey me and she needs... I'm like, what are you to do? See, and that's the part that we like to avoid. We like to justify our anger. We like to justify our responses and our actions. Now, a lot of times we'll even twist truth or even take truth and only use truth and say, well, I'm justified. And then you get to the mercy part. You get to the forgiveness part. And you come back to, how has God done with you? And it's not taking away sin. It's not trying to cover up sin or wrong or make sin okay. Please don't misunderstand me. Truth has to be present. Mercy and truth both have to be present. Is there a time that you can be just, have righteous indignation? Absolutely. It's taught in Scripture. There was a time when Jesus saw people basically making a store out of the house of God, out of the temple. This is supposed to be a place of prayer, a place of honor and respect, and y'all made it into a den of thieves. They were making it for a place they could make profit and money, and he went to the money changers and just overthrew the tables. Was Jesus right in that? Or did he sin? He was absolutely right in what he did, wasn't he? Is there a time that it's right that I spank my children? Yes. There is. Is it every time they do something wrong? No. There's also times to show them mercy. There's also times to give them opportunities to learn. There's a lot of different things within there, isn't there? Is there a time to go to somebody and say, thou art the man? As was done unto David? Absolutely. Nathan did exactly right by going and saying, thou art the man. Did he return unto David and give him options that God gave him for judgment? And he fell upon what? The mercy of God. There is a time for war. There is a time for peace. There is a time to say thou art the man. There is a time for correction. There is a time for open rebuke. There's a time for everything under the sun, but the right thing at the right time. There's a time to overthrow the money changer's table. There's a time to preach against sin. There's a time to preach mercy and forgiveness. It's not that one is needed and one's not needed. It's that both are needed, but in their proper place. And the way that we understand that is we trust in the Lord. And we trust in Him with all of our heart. And we don't lean into our own understanding. We don't try to accomplish our own wills. But as He said in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge Him. Look to His Word. Be led of His Spirit. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do what? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be a blessing to you. if you'll learn how to follow the Lord. And part of following the Lord, I look, in raising my children, I'll tell you how I look at it. As I say, God, how have you dealt with me? There are times that God has been stern with me at different times. And I look at the times He was stern and I try to learn from that and how I parent my children. There are times when God showed me mercy and gave me opportunity to learn and grow. And I try to learn that in dealing with my children. But not just them, dealing with the people I pastor, dealing with my wife, dealing with people I might have worked with and things of this nature. I'm to learn of Him. But when you learn of God, does God deal with us in just pure judgment? No, if He did, I would be destroyed. Does He let me know when I've done wrong? Absolutely. Does He correct me? Does sometimes He even chasten me? And scourge me even? Absolutely. So all those things are needed, but rightly divided, I need to learn from the Lord. There's times I'll deal with things in church and I'm like, God, just let me handle this. God, just let me, you know, really tell them what's for and really preach this message hard and get this across to them. And God's going, you need to preach the truth. You do. You need to speak the truth in love. And there are times of rebuke, reprove, exhort. All that's taught in Scripture, isn't it? But is it right for me every time to bang the pulpit and tell everybody how sorry and miserable they are? No, there is a time for that. Don't get me wrong. But there's also times that I need to preach to them about forgiveness, reconciliation, and as they've received it to God to whom mercy's been shown, we need to show that mercy also, don't we? If I don't want God to deal with me in the fierceness of His anger and just in His judgment, but I want mercy from Him, shouldn't I show mercy also? I'm going to turn to a couple of places before we close. All in the book of Proverbs, so you won't have to turn far. If you're in a place you can look at your Bible, I'm going to look at Proverbs 16. Notice what it says in verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. What's the goal? The goal is iniquity being purged, isn't it? And if that's not your goal, you're in the wrong thing. Because God's will is to remove iniquity. For every person that's saved, He wants them to depart from iniquity. And that's not your goal as a Christian, to depart from iniquity, then you got the wrong goal. But it is by mercy and truth that iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil, knowing that there is judgment with God. God is all about truth and righteousness, isn't He? Yes, we receive mercy from God, but don't misuse that. Don't use it as a cloak of maliciousness. Don't use it as an excuse to go out and sin. God will not deal with that. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall also reap. So let us put things in their proper place. The goal is iniquity being purged, but it is purged by mercy and truth. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Turn with me to chapter 21. He said, he that followeth that, this is verse 21. Sorry, I didn't say that. Proverbs 21, verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy. That's the way it's done. Righteousness and mercy. Not one or the other, but both. If I just pursue righteousness, I can get caught up in self-righteousness. I can mistreat others instead of say, wait a minute, how did God deal with me? How did even others that come before me that tried to help me deal with me? He didn't just deal with me in righteousness. I've had people come and tell me things that were wrong. I've had people set me down. I've had people yell at my face and tell me what I was doing was wrong, especially when I was young in life, mainly from maybe my dad even, when I was young. But their desire was to purge me from iniquity. Their desire was to correct me. There's times that I had to be corrected by a belt to my backside. There are times that words did it. But it was always, here's the truth, and here's mercy. And I even think about when my dad corrected me growing up with a belt. And it was on my backside, and I tell you, I had a wonderful upbringing. I didn't have perfect parents, but I certainly am appreciative for what I have. But you know, there were times, especially when I was young, you know, and I heard people say this, well, daddy would say it'll hurt me more than it hurts you. Well, my daddy said that. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I had that told. But I saw it. I saw it. I got some tough spankings every now and then. But as soon as the spanking was over, and the lesson had been accomplished, it was right back, you're my son, I love you. Come on, let's go get some work done. Let's go do some other things. Let's move on from this. Daddy didn't throw me away. Mama didn't throw me away. When I messed up, they corrected me. Even sometimes had to spank me. But I was always their son. I was always loved. Their love was always shown to me. There was mercy extended. There's lessons to be learned in that and how we even deal with our enemies. There's lessons to be learned in that and how we judge righteous judgment. There's lessons to be learned in that and how we seek things in life. How we treat our spouse. How we treat our co-workers. How we deal with all kinds of things in this world. It comes down to mercy and truth. How we love one another in church. Do you know in church, you're going to come across people that do wrong occasionally? And you can deal with them in righteousness. You can deal with them in just truth. Well, you did wrong here. You made a failure here. But the real way of dealing with them is mercy and truth. Do they need to know that they sin? Is there times they need to make an apology even to the church because they've hurt the name of Christ, maybe openly in the community? Yeah, there's things that need to be done. Church discipline's taught in Scripture. There's times you even have to withdraw fellowship from a member. But the goal is reconciliation. The goal is that they put away the sin. The goal is that they walk with the Lord, and when they repent, and when they turn from that which is wrong, shouldn't we be the first ones to go and hug them and say, man, I love you, been praying for you. So thankful you've acknowledged the truth and come to that which is right. Now let's move on. Mercy and truth make all the difference. I pray this could be a blessing. If you have something upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email me, my email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, faithwaymissionarybaptist.org. And that's all connected, faithwaymissionarybaptist.org. You can also just look that up, Faithway Missionary Baptist, and you should be able to find the site. It's got some doctrinal statements, beliefs on there. It may be a blessing to you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, pray that you'll use this message for your honor and glory, for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.